Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode guess.
No, I can't.
431. Top of the day to you, Steph.
I would just be making up a random number.
You don't know. I might have made that number up.
If you did, whatevs.
Flawless. I have been re-watching something that I haven't watched for, I reckon I watched it during lockdown.
What is it?
Derry Girls.
Oh, I love that show. So have they done Rock the Boat yet?
Not yet, but guess what? There's a Derry Girls quiz.
I
think that was in second season two.
Yeah.
Thing. Because we were like, anyway.
I remember watching the first episode and being like, Leah.
This is brilliant.
You need, this is like Green Wing vibes where I go, you, but I cannot recommend this. I'm going to strap you to the chair if you don't watch it right now.
This is perfect. And spoiler, still perfect.
That's not a spoiler. That is pure joy.
It's joy. And do you remember last week I did a forward tease about something that I was going to talk about to this week?
Yeah, but I don't remember what that is either. Hang on, there was a quiz about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was about either. Got nothing.
Okay, great. You'll enjoy that later on. But now it's time for the
news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Assassin's Creed is a video.
You never ask me what I.
Have you got any news?
Well, no, like I've been watching things too. If we're going back
okay,
to
do
the
you
intro.
Want to do like a little, do you want to do a little tease now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have been watching. I finished.
Oh my
I
gosh.
Finished a series based on a book that I've been a big fan of the book for a long time.
This is the one that you've been talking about recently. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a super controversial doco that has been, if you have not heard about it yet, you're living under a rock. So just wait for that one.
Hopefully I'm not in a rock or under it. I'm just nervous now. Assassin's Creed. Is
awesome.
Not the documentary.
It is not.
But it's a video game series.
True.
You know, the one that I have been playing since the year 2020, sorry, is Assassin's
lockdown.
Creed Valhalla.
Yes,
that's exactly
things.
What it was. It's exactly what it was. Anyway, Netflix is making a series and it's going to be set in ancient Rome. It will tell a story that they haven't actually done in the game. So set in Rome, 64 AD, and this one is like the Great Fire of Rome and Emperor Nero. If you're an ancient history buff or you have vague recollections of it in year 11 or 12, this is it. More than 230 million copies of Assassin's Creed games have been sold over the years.
Say it again, 230 million. Wow.
Not just one Assassin's Creed, but, that's
a lot.
No wonder they're still doing things. Would you like another story?
Yeah.
You know when you're at work and then you have one day off and then everything changes and you're like, I just have one day.
Mm.
I've been here every single day for months and now suddenly something has changed. It happened to Ryan Gosling.
What happened?
He missed out on something awesome. So he was filming Star Wars Starfighter, and the one day that he wasn't there on set, Tom Cruise shows up. Shows up. He said, I wasn't there. It was the one day that I wasn't there. I worked on that movie the whole time. I get one day off, and Sean
Bloody
Levy sends me a photograph of him with Tom Cruise. And it was like,
also,
what?
Levy, mate. Where's the heads up? I'll come in.
Yeah, I know. I know, right? The funniest thing, it's the most Tom Cruise thing out of all Tom Cruise things. He showed up on the set in a helicopter. He's not in the movie. Just showed up.
Did he abseil from the helicopter? Because that would be terribly Tom Cruise.
Even better. Actually, I say he's not in it, but we don't know that.
Of course we don't know that. Ryan didn't know it either.
We've all been kept under that rock.
You're on a need-to-know basis. Ryan Gosling's got a big mouth. Don't tell him.
Don't tell him.
Give him the day off.
Minecraft is a video game.
Mm.
Kids love it.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of it.
I can't comment. I've never looked at it.
Well, if you ever go to London, you'll be able to go to the Minecraft theme park.
Mm.
It's costing them $70 million to make this.
Goodness.
And they reckon it'll be open in 2027, so that's pretty soon. So there'll be like Minecraft themed things in there. There'll be a roller coaster, interactive adventures. You can go on like build blocks, because you know how you build blocks in that game, and people will be able to buy.
I just don't think of the UK as a theme park.
I think they've got some.
Do they?
They don't have Disney, but they've got other stuff.
Well, I know they've got the Harry Potter.
Oh, isn't that the Harry Potter, of course. Yeah, I think so. I think there's one in Florida, right? Harry Potter? Don't they also have that in Universal and Harry Potter?
They've got two.
I think so. I mean, it's a big enough franchise. You could do it. Thinking of things that we could probably do some watching suggestions.
Totes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Don't I have good ideas sometimes?
I mean, it's almost like that's the theme of the day.
Oh, maybe. Also, did that news go quickly?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't interrupt a lot. Usually I interrupt quite significantly and add in my own interest-based news.
I was thinking, yeah, I've done the three stories.
Yeah, I really feel like it's a me problem, not a you problem.
That's so funny. Okay, I really want to know about this series that you've been watching.
Okay, the series? So,
finished.
Okay.
Based on a book.
I watched the new series on Prime called Scarpetta.
There we go.
Which is based on the novels by Patricia Cornwell about Dr. K. Scarpetta.
She's the main character in every book.
She is the book. It's her thing. There are 150,000 different books of her. I don't know. There's a lot. She's been doing it for a long time. She is the forensic, I can't remember the name, the chief medical examiner of Virginia. I don't know. I feel like she moves around a little bit. Doesn't matter. She does the same job wherever she is. This one was really interesting. Okay, so you know me, that when I really like something, I get a bit nervous to watch it because
I think that's natural.
Is it? Because I just don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want it to get ruined.
Yeah, I don't want to be set up for disappointment. Mm. So I was a little bit nervous. I started a couple of days after it was released. The first maybe episode, I was still a little bit nervous.
Because you were also trepidatious about Nicole.
I was very trepidatious about Nicole. I'll put that out there. When I heard that she was going to be Dr. Scarpetta, I went, no way. She warmed on me. Did warm on me. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. Uh-huh. So many amazing people in there. Who's the guy? He's an Australian. Oh, you know
we've
who's
had
in
this
there?
Conversation.
Bobby Cannavale is in there, who's married to Rose Byrne.
Oh, okay. Isn't the Australian guy the guy from Column from Accounts?
No, he's in Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, far out.
No, it's Simon Baker.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
So they're both two Aussies playing Americans. Okay, so there is a little bit of a backstory, and I'm glad that I knew the backstory because I think it gave me more respect for the show.
Okay.
So Jamie Lee Curtis is the big guns behind it.
Oh, like the executive producer?
Yeah, she was
okay.
Like, I'm going to do this. I've got Nicole on board. I'm going to do this. One of the other executive producers, I think it was, she heard what was happening, calls Jamie Lee Curtis and says, I know everything there is to know about Kay Scarpetta. I'm your person. Let me do this. So she gets on board. That was the key, because what they did was instead of just rehashing a book or going completely rogue on a brand new storyline, what they did was they went back through the catalogue and they found a case and a book where they could throw a little bit of suspicion on it and be like, well, hang on, has new evidence been found?
Oh, cool. That's original.
Yeah, that might disrupt your judgment 20, 30 years ago.
Oh, that's really
cool.
So
there's a lot of back and forward timeline-wise in this series. So there's two people playing Scarpetta. There's a younger actress who's playing her, who I actually think it's Rosie McEwen. You'll know if you saw her.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen her in stuff.
Black Mirror, The Alienist, Othello. I almost want to say she was better than Nicole. She really hit the character for me. But even though there were two actresses playing the same person 30 years apart, it was such a good storyline, the way that it was interwoven. Of course, then, because it's going back that long, there's two characters playing Benson. There's two characters, or two actors, I should say, playing Marino.
And how was that?
Good.
So the
you knew it straight away. Amazing. There was no sort of moment where you're like, oh, who is this person again? Yeah. You just knew it straight away. And, yeah, the timeline was really good. The way they intertwined an old story and new cases. That's, and they were like, oh, my gosh, it looks like it's the same person, but how could it be because we've already convicted somebody of it. But somebody else's, you know, other people are turning up dead with the same MO. Really, really clever. I will say, though, as a reader of the book, there were some things that I just thought, oh, I didn't expect it to be
that's
like that.
That's always going to be,
it's
going to
be expected. Yeah. Capetta?
Capetta.
That's just blending a name. Scarpetta's niece, Lucy, was very different to how I expected her to be.
Okay.
And so that was the one, not that I disliked this character, but it didn't quite sit with me that I was like, she's supposed to be like this super brain tech whiz person who, you know, works with all the undercover agencies in the US.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get that from her. Like even her house, I was like, that's not the house that she would live
in. Yeah, right. So even if they are expecting you to, as a reader, a fan, to fill in those blanks, you were still not given enough information that that is what their intention
was.
Yeah,
and I thought it's interesting because obviously the people who have made this show are big fans of the books, so that was their interpretation of it.
Okay.
So interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wasn't dubious. I was dubious to start, but I came away from it really enjoying it.
That's awesome.
I softened to Nicole playing Scarpetta and I accepted her by the end. And the end, massive cliffhanger.
Great. Oh, okay, so massive. Second season. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a limited series.
Me too. I really thought it was going to be limited.
You know, with those kind of big names, I don't know how much they want to be locked in, but I don't really believe that that is the case these days. How many series now have we seen Nicole in, TV series? Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them have had second seasons.
Also, I think it's women at the helm. So they're not going to put a roadblock on their own careers. They're going to be like, what? This is our production. Yeah. We're going to make a second season. We're going to continue our careers.
That's really,
And I just feel like the drive behind it was Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's cool.
She's really good. Again, her character was not what I was expecting from the character.
Yep.
But she was really good. She was verging on, you know how good she is in The Bear?
Yes.
That like raw family dynamics.
That was,
it was that.
Okay. So that showed me her acting ability is miles above many other people because there were scenes in The Bear that she is playing alongside other people and you're like, oh, you're making the others look like they can't act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There were scenes in that, so you're just like, oh, this is awkward.
Yeah. Well, this one wasn't like that they couldn't act because you've got like Bobby Cannavale and you've got Nicole Kidman. They can act, but you just went, oh my goodness, she's so good.
I think she's got a touch of the Meryl Streeps.
Yeah.
With that.
I feel like
she's
next grittier.
Level. Oh, yeah, she's grittier, but their acting ability and their talent and their profession and their skill.
Supersedes.
Yeah, and it's probably also because they've been doing it for so long, but far out. I've been watching Rooster on HBO Max with Steve Carell. Remember I said I was to watch it and that it looked like something I would really like because it was a bit of a comedy but not too ha-ha-ha. I thought he was a college professor, but he's not. He's a writer who goes to a college, a university, to do a talk. And then the boss man of the department, played by John C. McKinley, who was Dr. Cox in Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I want you to work here full time. I want you to be a lecturer. And he's like, no, I don't want to. He's mainly there to see his daughter, who is working at the university and is married to another lecturer, except the other lecturer has left her because now the other lecturer is dating a student.
Oh.
And then so she's a bit of a mess and she's doing a bit of stalking. There's a few just disasters. You know those in those comedies you just like think think father of the bride, we're like, don't do that. It's going to make everything worse.
Stop.
Yeah, she was doing a fair bit of that. And by the end of the first episode, I'm going to give this spoiler because it did hook me to watch more, is that she finds out, the daughter finds out that her ex-husband is like, I really want to get back with you. Oh, my girlfriend has just told me she's having a baby. And so Steve Carell is sort of there. He doesn't know all of this yet, but I'm a couple of episodes in because they're drip feeding them. I just really like it. It's like a half hour episode once a week like you used to do.
Yeah.
And you look forward to it. You're like, oh, it's probably out. You know, I could sit down.
Fun.
And sit there and watch it.
It does make you weak when you're like, oh, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
They get released.
This is good. I like this. So I would definitely recommend Rooster if you want one of those kind of light comedy with a little bit of, it's not dramedy, but it's more comedy than drama, but it's got a touch of drama in there as well. It's very funny. Okay, so the controversial
Doco. So I watched the Netflix documentary, a Louis Theroux one.
Oh, yeah, the Manosphere.
Inside the Manosphere. Manosphere. Mm. So this is clearly not a sphere that I am a part of on my social media.
Did you not know anything?
I didn't know any of them. Great. I'd heard of one of them who is a very controversial male-orientated, I guess alpha male-orientated podcaster, speaker, internet
influencer.
Influencer, that's the word. I knew of him, but he was the one person who did not agree to be interviewed.
Did they speak of him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Sort of see, it feels like a lot comes back to him and things have trickled off. I would be very surprised if you haven't heard about this documentary or seen think pieces on it or read articles, because it is really disturbing and it's eye-opening, this particular documentary. As you know, Louis Theroux has that ability.
Yeah, always has
to kind of lure his, I'm going to call them subjects, into a false sense of security so that they say what they probably shouldn't be saying. He also holds these really awkward long silences.
Yeah, so they want to fill the space. Yeah.
And that would
work for me.
100%.
Awkward silence, let me fill it.
Or I'd be like trying to make jokes. Like, will you laugh? What's wrong with you? Anyway, he spends a bit of time with, I think, about three or four of these male influencers around the world.
Are they a mixture of successful ones and wannabe ones? Because the wannabe ones would be interesting too.
The ones he focuses on are successful, but there are a lot of wannabes hanging around. So to get to the, you know, nuts and bolts of it, the messages that these men are throwing out there on the internet are incredibly degrading.
Yeah.
They talk about the male loneliness epidemic.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They talk about how the world needs to actually go back to more traditional.
Oh, like have a trad wife kind of thing.
But they want that. But they also want their cake and they eat it too. Uh-huh. So a lot of them have a wife or a girlfriend, but then they sprout this thing of, oh, you know, I go and I sleep with any of the women that I want, but my partner is not allowed to do same thing. Where Louis gets into them is, though, without saying a lot, he lets these guys talk themselves up with these stupid relationships. And then he waits until their partner is there and he goes, oh, I just wanted to ask you.
Oh, that's good.
You know, he said he's allowed to do this. Is it like you're okay with that? And you can see the women just go, yep, can't answer the way that I want to, but I'm also telling you that I'm really not happy
with
it.
I'm telling you with my body language. Yeah.
And the next time you see us, there will probably be a change in our relationship, that sort of thing.
Okay, great.
Even down to one of them with his mum. You know, male bravados that they, you know, sprout. And then their mum is telling them, like, don't you embarrass me in this documentary, things like that. It's really interesting. Where I think it is the most disturbing is the audience that they cater to are teenage boys.
Yeah, right.
And so really influential young men who are desperately trying to find their place in the world, which is what all teenagers and young 20s are trying to do. But that's what they're being fed. And the algorithms of these social media accounts are feeding it to them hugely. You know, at one stage, Louis Theroux's walking out in the street with one of these influencers, and teenage boys, I want to say 13, 14, come up and they're like, yeah, it's this guy. Like, oh, let me have a photo with you.
I bet they don't know Louis Theroux.
They don't know Louis Theroux. But as they're leaving, they're like, you know, F the girls, F this, F that. And you think, oh, my goodness, you don't even know what you're on about. But to do that to such a young, influential brain is really, really dangerous.
Yeah, that's dodge.
Where Louis gets into it is he's like, these guys know clickbait. They know rage bait.
Yeah.
And that's at the crux of it. That's their business model is to constantly, almost 24/7, throw out these horrific sound bites to get the clickbait, because that's what gets there.
Doesn't matter. Then they'll get the sponsorship.
Yeah, they get the sponsorship and they get the money from it. Exactly. And then what they're trying to do, and almost all of them are trying to do, is sell really dodgy investment advice. Ugh. And so Louis Theroux puts in £500 into one of their investments, but, you know, promised great returns,
all of that.
And he goes, you know, 4 weeks later, got almost nothing left, but he took his cut whether or not my advice, my money, my fund was successful. There's a lot more to it that I can go into. It is an interesting watch. It is a disturbing watch.
Is it just one episode? Like, is it just
three
a one?
Episodes, three episodes, I think. Okay. And he follows them over a period of time.
Yeah, right.
So he'll come back to them. What is interesting is because these guys live online, they obviously researched Louis Theroux. So they're like, I've never heard of him. Then Google him and we're like, oh, my God, this guy.
Yeah, might get into trouble.
Knows what he's doing. Yeah. And just the digs Louis has at them.
And they don't know.
They don't know. He's probably the best. Like, he arrives at some guy's, you know, secure fort in in Spain where he's hiding out because he had a horrific car accident in the UK and is wanted for it. So he's living out in Spain, living the life. And there's security and all of that. And the guy comes to meet Louis and he's like, oh, God, look, you guys got big cameras. And Louis's like, this is Netflix. This is not YouTube. Just little things like that. And another one where the guy's singing his hot stuff and he's talking to Louis's camera. And Louis's standing maybe, I don't know, a meter and a half behind him. And he just goes, who are you talking to? And he goes, oh, am I not supposed to look in the camera? He's like, no, it's a documentary. So you're talking to people.
Really funny. That's the equivalent of, you know, you see people and they're interviewing, they've got microphones and then they say, so what's your favorite color? And then they point the microphone into the mouth of the person answering, and the person tries to take the microphone and they're like, no, you're just holding hands with my mouth. Let go.
Yeah, I'm just offering it for you to talk into, not to take.
Far out.
Not offering you a drink.
Ridiculous. Okay, so, well, I thought it was probably going to be as good as you're saying, because it's Louis Theroux.
I feel like.
Interesting subject too.
There was more of the subject that he could have gone into.
Yeah, okay.
But he clearly chose a definite
story
and path to tell
and
to let the viewer make decisions themselves.
Cool.
Yeah, good, really good.
Okay, I'm glad it was good. Speaking of good, I went back to Derry Girls. This was from, do you reckon it was from the year 2020 or was it a bit later? Apparently it started in 2018, but maybe we didn't get it then.
Yeah.
But it was definitely something that you and I watched during COVID. It was like a thing that we would do every night.
I feel like we had watched season one.
Oh, okay.
And we watched season two.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Of course, this is set in the 90s. In Ireland with the IRA.
Northern Ireland?
Northern Ireland in Derry in Derry. And they're Derry girls. And it's a group of teenagers and they go to an all-girls Catholic high school, except in the first episode, one of the girls, her cousin from England, has moved over and there is no space in the boys' school, so he just has to go to the all-girls school. Hilarious. He's not allowed to use any toilet in the school because they're all for girls or it's staff. Just,
this show is so, so funny.
It's so funny.
Like you are cackling constantly.
It's so good. You know, you just look at the different characters and you're like, you are ridiculous. And then you look at the other one, well, you're ridiculous. Like Orla would just be, for no reason, sitting at the kitchen table chatting to everyone. Mm. She's got a wooden spoon like playing drums on her leg, on her thigh. And with the other hand, she's doing the same thing but with a big knife.
Yeah.
It's not mentioned.
The character development on so every good. Single character is top notch and would have taken so long. I really appreciate that work.
And the level of anxiety and stress in particularly, I would say, Erin and Claire, the two blonde characters, they're just always, like, they're so uptight and stressed.
I mean, if
stressed.
You're a Bridgerton fan, Nicola comes from Derry Girls.
Exactly.
I can't say that her career started in Derry Girls, but most definitely.
But it's where I saw her.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge platform for her.
It's so funny and it's so worth watching again. 19 episodes of it. And, you know, this kind of show, there's never enough episodes, but if they had more, it would have watered down how great it was.
Yes, yes.
I loved it so much that I'm now going to force you to answer some quiz questions.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, but it's been a long time since I've watched it.
I know. I took that into consideration. Derry is the nickname of the city. What's its full name? They say it in the first episode. That's why I almost gave it away before.
Derry, don't know, Derryville, Derry Island, Derry.
Londonderry. No wonder they took the London part out.
Yeah.
Where is James from?
London.
Oh, England. I don't really know. What other series? So here you go. What other series did Nicola Coughlan star in?
Bridgerton.
Yeah.
And then there was that other one.
Yep. I can't think of it right now, but you're right. There is another one.
Big Girls or?
Yeah. And it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was on Netflix as well, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, it was a good show. I would watch that again as well, actually, to be fair.
Do you know, I'm a bit embarrassed. I don't think I finished it.
Oh, I know I did, but I couldn't tell you anything about any of the storylines apart from the fact that I enjoyed it. How many Siobhans are in the cast?
Oh, like three?
No, I would have thought that too. There's only one. Siobhan McSweeney, she plays the nun principal,
really?
Sister Michael. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But, oh no, this is Sinead, not Siobhan, but the Sinead O'Connor, there's at least one or two times I notice a poster of her in the background.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Siobhan, yeah, Siobhan. What is the song Irish like to sit on the floor at weddings and dance to?
Rock the Boat.
We did not know that.
I had no clue.
Until we watched Derry Girls. Like I legitimately feel like it taught us something.
Well, we had to Google it because we were like, they made this up for the show.
Yeah.
No, Irish sit on the floor with their legs apart. Mm-hmm.
In their wedding dresses.
Or behind each other. And just rock from side to side.
Do they do any like row, row, row your boat as well?
Yeah, but they go like, they tap the floor.
That's right. They tap the floor on either side. Rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Why?
so
good. Finally, are you going to do the accent?
Yeah. No.
No, you're going to do the French and Saunders.
I can't do it. Are you going to do the, I can't do it today.
How are you? And how are you
and
too?
How are you too?
That's it, see?
Yeah, but that really is a stretch to Derry Girls.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be funny if we both quote a French and Saunders. Stephanie, on that note, thank you very much.
You're welcome.